Listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm Stacy Stein. On today's show, teenage interns from Garfield County Prep continue their conversation with Risa, a nurse with Pitkin County Public Health, about tobacco, marijuana, and alcohol use. This is the second part of the conversation. The prior show focused on the increasing use and popularity of e-cigarettes and Juul products, as well as changes in the culture and social pressure to use. Interns continue with their perspectives on addiction and how they see addiction manifest in their peers and themselves. Risa discusses brain health and some of the long-term impacts of early substance use, and members of the group discuss why they have decided not to use tobacco or other intoxicants.
Do you think people are addicted?
I don't think they know that they're addicted. Well, I think addicted is such a, like, strong word that they don't want to say, like, oh yeah, I'm addicted to tobacco or whatever.
With what you were saying, addicted is a very strong word. It's a very, like, aggressive word. Especially if someone says, hey, you're addicted, like, then people get defensive and they're like, well, I'm not. And the biggest thing is that, like, they don't want to say that they are addicted because they just don't want to be perceived as an addict. But if you're using it and you're using, like, more than 2 pods a day and you're using it every day, which I know a lot of people who are, you're addicted. If you can't stop it and be perfectly fine, you're addicted. Because I've talked to people and I'm like, okay, stop. And so they stop and then they're like, oh, but I'm only doing it for fun. It's like, you're addicted. That's, if you can't really stop yourself and then, like, cut yourself off, that's it.
One of my really close friends was a big marijuana user and tobacco user and other drugs as well because of the people that she was hanging out with. And she lived out in Portland, Oregon, where that is more of a bigger issue. And then she moved to Vancouver, Washington, which is not far from Portland, just changed schools, got a whole new friend group, and hasn't done drugs in 8 months just because of the people she was hanging around. And I wouldn't say that she was addicted because she had no problem just falling off of that drug and being able to be okay without it. And now she's honestly healthier and better as a person. So I feel like there are some people, as you said, that are addicted and couldn't do that and would have to keep using it. But there are some people who do it just for the show of it and having it around, like to be cool. But I feel like there are teenagers that can just stop doing it.
I definitely know some people who have like a vape pen, but they only use it in social situations and just for the time that everyone else is using it, just to kind of be like, oh yeah, I do it too. But in the times that I've hung out with them, and I mean, I don't do any of that. So when I hang out with them, they don't touch it. They keep it away. They can handle being away from it for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, weeks. You know, they only use it at social situations where they, I guess, need to.
I had like a stage junior year where I just smoked lots of pot. And I think I didn't want to know that I was an addict. Like, I didn't know what I was. Like, I was totally fine. Like, I could smoke, like, a little bit and be high, like, the whole day. And I didn't really want to know that I was an addict. I don't think I fully understood what an addict was. People are, like, smoking, like, two pods a day. They'll be fine, but still won't call themselves an addict. So I think it's the lack of education that they need of, like, you're just smoking too much, you know? And I think people are just very, like, I don't want to say clueless and dumb, but they're clueless and dumb, you know? Lots of people need to know what the boundaries are for the use of how much they're using. Like, it's, like, I don't want to say it's fine, but it's okay to do, like, from time to time at, like, an appropriate time, an appropriate amount.
I definitely agree with that. I feel like what high schooler isn't at some point going to try drugs? There's parties and raves and things like that. Like, what teenager isn't going to try drugs at least once?
As a teenager who has never tried drugs, a lot of it has been the fact that I have really been socially isolated, but even before I was socially isolated, I hung out with the nerds, the theater kids, and the overlap of those two groups, which was almost made it a circle. It does really depend on what social groups you're around, because some social groups, it's literally, we're just going to play D&D until 2 in the morning and eat Cheetos the entire time, and that's it. But I know there's other groups where you practically have to flash your jewel pod at the door to get into a party, but I haven't been to a party since, like, freshman year, and I'm going into senior year, so I don't know. There is a lot of difference with the way you interact with your peers and which peers you interact with.
As another teenager who hasn't done any drugs or alcohol, I kind of have the other side of that is I am very involved in school and I am very like social in the aspect of like I will go out with friends, talk to a lot of people, do a lot of things. There have been a lot of times where I've been offered to drink or to smoke by people who were my friends, you know, and they would say, you know, like, we can go smoke marijuana after school, and I just immediately turn it down because it's not something that I'm interested in. And I've remained friends with them. They're still my friends, but they know that I'm just not the person that they should go to if they want to smoke, if they want to drink. I'm the person that they should go to if they want to binge watch something. It just depends on how you place yourself in your own social groups and just how you make yourself known.
I think those are all true points. It's just different in different cases. In terms of addiction, I think it's really true. Like, once we start using that word addict, everyone's like, that's not me. And so I think trying to help people see that they might be addicted to something without being an addict is really the case. sugar is one of those things, right? We can get addicted to sugar. It doesn't make us an addict. And I think when we attach that judgment to it, it becomes a problem. Caffeine, right? And it's not a judgment. It's just that, like, these chemicals are actually addictive in our system. So nicotine, studies have shown that nicotine is just as addictive as heroin, one of the most addictive substances in the world. And for different people with different genetics, it's going to affect them differently. So some people are going to be addicted after just a couple of hits of a cigarette or a Juul or whatever. And other people, it's going to take more. But just because you can stop if you get out of the situation doesn't mean that you weren't addicted, right? So like people who are addicted to alcohol, one of the things that we encourage them to do is hang out with different friends, be in a different place, don't be in that same place. So they're still addicted, or they still were addicted to the substance, but they're able to beat that addiction. And a lot of people are able to beat addictions, which is fantastic. We're lucky for that because it's a hard thing. What we're seeing is when our brains are developing the way that they are now, we actually have this extra ability to become addicted, which is a bummer. And so nicotine gets in there and it stimulates the dopamine receptors. The dopamine receptors do what? They make us feel happy, right? They make us feel good. They make us feel relaxed. And nicotine actually does a better job of attaching to those dopamine receptors than dopamine itself. So you start to crave it. You start to feel like, oh, that makes me feel even better. So that's the danger of nicotine on our brains.
I feel like with addictions, they right now they're treating drugs like they're the most harmful addiction there is out there. With addictions like exercise, if you exercise too much and lose too much weight, you could become anorexic or bulimic and end up in the hospital and potentially die from that within the span of months, rather than drugs that, like tobacco, could kill you within years. So there are, I think we should spread more awareness for the addictions like that, because that could benefit more people. Like, it's important to spread all awareness always about things like that. But I feel like we're focusing way too much on drugs.
Absolutely. All addiction is an issue. And one of the things that I talk about when I talk to parents is that nicotine, when we start it in middle school or high school, actually sets our brains up for addiction. And that addiction could be to nicotine. It could be to cocaine later on, or it could be to snowboarding or exercising too much or whatever. But anything that takes over our life is a really big problem. The issue, I think, with drugs is that we see a lot more addiction to drugs and a lot more of that damaging people's lives than we see addiction to exercise. But certainly gambling, people who are anorexic and don't eat, like, these are all addictive behaviors, right? And all addiction is an issue. But when we start something addictive very young, and it's something so addictive like nicotine, it actually sets us up for all of those addictions later, which is one of the reasons that we're concerned. But for sure, we need to think about all the things that young people use for coping mechanisms. Do you think that nicotine is used as a coping mechanism, or is it just to be cool?
When my friend smoked weed and cigarettes before she laid off of it, it was for her anxiety. And when she would smoke weed or she would have a cigarette, her anxiety levels would go down so she could be in a social situation without needing it, because she doesn't believe in the pills that the doctors prescribe. She doesn't think that they actually work the same way that some drugs can do, like marijuana or a cigarette, because it has the dopamine. It raises the dopamine levels without making you completely numb to emotion.
I have a friend who has pretty high levels of anxiety too, and when he smoked, he got very paranoid and basically spent the whole night, like, his friends were trying to get him to calm down, but of course he couldn't, because the reaction that he had every time after he did it, it was the same experience of him either getting really paranoid or just, like, getting more anxious. And so it just kind of had the opposite effect for him, so he just kept sticking with his drugs, just decided to not deal with marijuana at all because it was, you know, causing him a not pleasurable effect.
That's an interesting question. You know, I don't speak about adults very much. I'm much more interested in what happens when we're young. And I think for the young brain, I think all the substances are pretty equally dangerous. And I think caffeine's pretty dangerous too when we're young and our brains are developing, right? But I do think that nicotine and marijuana are both pretty dangerous. The problem is that we know a lot more about nicotine than we know about marijuana because there haven't been a lot of studies of what marijuana does to the young brain because we can't do those studies because it hasn't been legal federally. But because tobacco has been legal federally, we know so much more about what nicotine does to people who are young and smoking. Not because we were able to give people cigarettes when they were young, but because there are so many people who started young and we can see what it did to their brain and their body. Lung cancer is, depending on how you look at it and which year you're looking at, lung cancer is either the number one or the number two killer in the country. And that's only one cancer that's caused by nicotine. There's tons of other cancers like cervical cancer in women and penile cancer in men and mouth cancer are all influenced by tobacco use. So we know all that stuff. We don't know so much the impacts of marijuana on a young brain and how it affects the body long term.
I do know that they are starting to come out with more and more studies about the interactions of adolescent brains and marijuana. So I think they're both very dangerous, but different kinds of dangerous.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's a really good point. So that's exactly what we talk about with nicotine, is that same development of the brain. So the brain develops till we're about 25. And that when we talk about the brain developing, we mean that the cells in the brain are actually creating those connections, the ways that the brain communicates within itself, the ways that you form memories, the ways that we learn and form learning, so that like you don't just learn something and then it's gone, but you actually learn it and retain it. All of that stuff is developing until we're 25. And any of these drugs that we put in particular marijuana, nicotine, alcohol, when we're young, actually changes the way that those synapses develop and changes those communication pathways. It affects our memory in the short term, but it also affects our long-term memory, learning, ability to pay attention, all the things that we think about when we think of attention deficit disorder. One of the things that we know is when people use nicotine, and we're starting to see this with marijuana too, when they're pregnant, it changes the development of the fetus, and we actually see more attention deficit disorder in kids when they get older. We can assume it's very much the same because we're seeing some of those same things when people start using marijuana and nicotine young. It changes those brain pathways, makes it harder to pay attention. It also makes it harder to self-regulate, to be able to take ourselves down without using something else. So like if we're feeling really stressed, our brains have stopped learning how to bring ourselves down. It learns that we need to use something else, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, exercise, whatever. Exercise being like something that is usually something that we train ourselves to use. One of the hard things about talking about nicotine is that it doesn't give you that instant. It's not like we talk about drinking and driving. You could die today, right? But when we talk about nicotine, we're talking about these long-term kind of effects. And I think that's the hard place. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to stop before then. I'm going to stop because before it causes me a problem.
A quick thing is for those who don't use drugs or don't like have stopped using or don't use it as often. Why did you stop? Why aren't you using it as often? Or why have you just never started? Who has influenced that and who has helped you stay away?
I'm someone who has never started to do drugs. A lot of that has been something influenced by my parents, who are both horribly, horribly strict. It didn't stop my sister, though, but it stopped me enough. A lot of the times, they would just straight up tell me, you're going to have a random drug test. And so I didn't do that, but I've also been very academically inclined, and so I wanted to stay away from drugs, alcohol, smoking, because a lot of that was something that could end up damaging my academic career.
Sorry, off topic, but I just think that kids don't know, like, they don't know how to learn. Well, they do know how to learn, obviously, but, like, they don't learn from their mistakes. I don't think they want to hear something they don't, like, something they don't want to hear, they won't process it. They'll just be like, oh, whatever. So I think, like, trying to change someone's mind about tobacco is really hard, especially since it's a very, like, socially pressured thing. And I think that's definitely social media and everything else is a humongous thing right now. I don't know. I think it's just the pressure of everybody else and just being stuck up teenagers that we are and not wanting to hear something that's bad for us or that we don't want to hear.
I guess the reason why I haven't decided to do drugs or drink was just like from a very young age, like going to events like quinceañeras or like even baby showers where like people would get drunk and then they'd be like fighting or the women would get like crazy. I would just see it and I'd just be like, that's not something that I want to do. Like, that's not, I don't want anyone to see me like that. From a very young age, my parents have, I mean, they gave me the talk when I was very little. And even from that, they would talk to me about drugs and about alcohol, like, all the time. And they would, you know, at parties, like, at certain parties, they would show that, yes, like, they drink, but they don't drink to the point of, like, blacking out or, like, to the point that they get really drunk. I've never seen any, like, family member, like, really drunk or, like, blacked out. Never. With the drugs, it's just been, like you said, like, I'm academically inclined and I don't want anything ruining my future, basically. Also, like, I'm an immigrant and I'm a daughter of immigrants. There was a lot of struggle and a lot of, like, hardship, like, trying to get me here and trying to get, like, our whole family together. And I don't really want to throw that away because I know that if I wanted to be a drug addict and if I wanted to be, like, an avid drinker or, like, pregnant, then I should have just stayed in my country. But we came here for us to have a better future and for me to be able to actually attend college and graduate and have a good degree and, like, have a good life and be safe. If I put myself in unsafe situations, then that's, like, kind of going against that and, like, just kind of, like, slapping my parents in the face and being like, well, F you, like... I see kids that are also immigrants and they come here and they start drinking and they start doing drugs and start, you know, they get pregnant and all that stuff and they don't go to school. And I'm just like, then why are you here? Your parents struggled so hard to get you here. They paid so much money. You probably struggled a lot to get here too. And you're throwing it away for a good feeling of like an hour or 2 hours.
I think because of what you said though and what you all said, when we try to leave it up to each individual person, it's really hard. We have to leave it up to each parent to instill good values, and parents have a lot going on, and we have to leave it up to every young person to make a decision when there's so much pressure on them to be cool, and that this is the thing to be cool. And so I'm just going to make a little statement about the policies that are out right now. A lot of states, I think 15 states now, have raised the age to buy tobacco to be the same as the age to buy marijuana and alcohol, to 21. Colorado is one of the states who has not, and so some of the individual towns are looking at raising the age to 21 to make it a little bit harder for young people to start when they're 11, 12, 13, 16, 18. And that's really important because most people get addicted when their brains are still developing, like we talked about, so younger than 18 or younger than 21. The other thing is requiring a license for stores to sell this addictive product. We require licenses for selling alcohol, for selling marijuana, for selling guns, but also for selling eggs and ice and Christmas trees. But we do not require a license for stores to sell tobacco. So if stores continue to sell to young people, which we have seen lots of stores have failed the state compliance checks, there's nothing that we can do. Towns like Glenwood are looking at putting in place a license. They're also looking at banning flavors because traditionally flavors have been one of the ways that tobacco companies have not only targeted young people, like from the age of little kids, with this appeal of tobacco products, but also target minorities and low-income people specifically by the use of flavors and menthol, which is actually even more addictive than regular products. So those things are coming up. We're going to see them up and down the valley. I think this part of Colorado has been really a forerunner in starting policies to protect young people against the tobacco industry, really. It's like a bit of a battle.
This is the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm Stacy Stein. We just wrapped up a conversation about substance use with a group of Garfield County Prep's teenage interns and Pitkin County's public health nurse. They discussed addiction, the increase in e-cigarette use, and how substance use as a teen can impact brain development and have lifelong impacts. In response to the increase in teen use of e-cigarettes, A number of Colorado towns, including Carbondale, Glenwood Springs, and Aspen, have banned flavored nicotine products and raised the age to purchase them to 21. Thanks for listening. To learn more about Garfield County Prep, visit garfieldcountyprep.org. To hear more from the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program, visit azyep.org.